The Central African nation of Burundi is step by step trying to put itself back together. It's been through 10 years of civil war and more than 3 decades of ethnic conflict. As in neighboring Rwanda, the battles were between the Hutus and the Tutsis. Voters recently approved a constitution that requires the two groups to share power. Now, another challenge is looming: how to gracefully incorporate tens of thousands of soldiers from both sides into a new peaceful Burundi. Member station WNYC's Marianne McCune reports.
On one side, there are the rebels, Hutus, who rose up against the Tutsi-dominated government. On the other side, the mostly Tutsi soldiers who fought to maintain the government's power. Both are still armed, but the war is over, so they're waiting in camps across Burundi's mountains, either to join a new multi-ethnic Burundian armed force or to turn in their guns and return to civilian life. Burundian pastor Charles Ndwumukama has a message for all of them.
Oh, chers amis, il y a tant de choses qu'on pourrait faire au Burundi.
Oh, dear friends, he sings, there are so many things we could do in Burundi. Instead of making war, instead of drawing divisions between Hutus and Tutsis, we can love peace, we can love each other. This morning, he's driving his jeep up the windy road to Camp Gashingwa, where a group of 4,000 Hutu rebels have been waiting for more than a year. The rebels are afraid, he says. They think, how will we fit into a government with Tutsis when we killed their brothers, their families? Is this reconciliation possible? Ndwumukama is among many in Burundi who worry soldiers from both sides will find it difficult to adapt to peace after a decade of war and brutal massacres. So the pastor has made it the mission of his church to visit their camps and tell them. The Hutus killed, and the Tutsis killed too. And if everyone killed, we have to forgive each other. It's a Saturday afternoon, and when the pastor arrives at Gashingwa, a dozen members of his church choir are already swaying back and forth beneath a patch of pine trees. Jules Indiho Pubayo is the Hutu colonel in charge of this camp. He joined the rebels 10 years ago after an infamous massacre of Hutu university students. Now, he says, he welcomes visits from any group that preaches reconciliation.
C'est juste.
It's just exactly what we need to be able to confront life outside. We've seen 10 years of atrocities. Our spirits are traumatized.
In a country where many now avoid any mention of ethnicity, Pastor Ndwumukama, who's a mix, doesn't hold back. He's brought with him to this Hutu camp a Tutsi colonel. And he begins a sermon by inviting both colonels to come up and tell the story of their first encounter. With sheepish smiles, they tell the crowd that they did meet years ago in an ambush. They tried to kill each other. Now, they say, and they clasp hands in the air to prove it, they are brothers. Pastor Ndwumukama spends the next hour preaching about prejudices and stereotypes, at times mimicking with a wrinkled nose and sour face the disdain Hutus and Tutsis have shown each other. Finally, he tells the soldiers, Burundi is sick, and it's in your hands. You, the ex-rebels, and the former military, you can kill Burundi, or you can save Burundi. Burundi's new military and police are to include equal numbers of Hutu rebels and Tutsi soldiers, and there are already tensions over who will get what rank and salary. But Ndwumukama and other community leaders are more concerned about those who won't be offered any job. There's not room in the new armed forces to incorporate everyone, so at least 20,000 will have to trade in their guns for 2 weeks of sensitivity training and a small chunk of money to start civilian life. 4,000 have already done so. One afternoon in the town of Bururi, a few dozen of them gather to tell government officials how hard it is. They say the people who live in their hillside communities think they were kicked out of the army and they're here to cause trouble. They say local chiefs warn farmers to keep close watch of their livestock and fields. Outside, Jean-Claude Ndaizeye says what he fears most are rumors.
Because as soon as people start to accuse you, they start to fear you and think you have weapons. And then they want to attack you first. That's how the war started. The war started with all those accusations.
The war also started because of competition for the plots of land most Burundians live off. With population growth and the return of soldiers and refugees, there's less and less to go around. Ndaizeye returned home to find a cemetery on his parcel. Officials are urging soldiers to be patient and use their cash and an array of special loan programs to start businesses. They're thrilled when former rebel James Sinaramera shows them the bull he's managed to buy. But he tells them now he has no money left to feed his five children or rebuild the home that was pillaged in his absence. He's trying to restart his life, but he quotes a Karundi proverb: when the handle of the hoe is brand new, it gives you splinters. Many Burundians worry these ex-soldiers will become so frustrated they'll return to violence. Some say they need training, not cash. Pastor Charles Nduwumukama is again taking things into his own hands. He and his church members are building a slew of classrooms where they plan to teach ex-combatants to make shoes or build houses or squeeze juice. They'll also learn to be patriotic, he says.
Civism is to love your country, to love your people, to love your government, etc.
But the classrooms are only half done, and already he has nothing left to buy the materials for teaching.
We need money. We need money.
For NPR News, I'm Marianne McCune.
Photos of former Hutu rebels at Camp Gachingwa are at our website, npr.org.